Okay. Now, tonight, to share thoughts with us is a lady that I love dearly, and you do too. And if you don't love her, it's because you haven't met her. She is a fantastic mother and grandma. And she plays the piano down here. When Janie steps aside, this lady grabs the piano and plays it. Right? And she is a love. While she's up here, send her love back and try to be able to send as much love back to her as she's going to be sending out to you. Are you ready for our Barbara? Barbara Kafer.
Thank you. This is kind of nerve-wracking. I haven't done this before, and other than the meditations, and I've gone over this about 15 times today.
Maybe we could send this back a little.
Okay. And I'm good.
See if that works any better.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Her voice is soft.
Yes. I was hoping that Steve and Michelle would be here, but they're, I don't see them. Steve Cook. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh. Steve Cook spoke a couple of months ago about his trip to the Holy Land, and it kind of prodded me to tell my story about a peace pilgrimage that I was a part of in 1989. I went with a group from the United States to a place called Medjugorje. It's a village in Yugoslavia where the Blessed Mother, the Mother of Jesus, had appeared to six children of various ages, the youngest being 10 years old. The Blessed Mother gave the children messages for the world, and she continued to appear to them, and she still appears to three of them. And that was in 1981 when she first started appearing. As the years went by, she continued to appear to some of them on a regular basis and to some on special occasions. They told their story after the apparition, and people thought they were crazy or that they were lying. The church and authorities questioned them communist style and couldn't break them. The children got really scared, and they ran to the church, to the Franciscan priest in charge, Father Yoso. And he protected him, and then he was incarcerated for a year and a half for doing that. Eventually, the story got out, and pilgrims began to show up in Medjugorje. Eventually, the story reached America, and then we began showing up in the village. There were many stories of miraculous healings and of people seeing the Blessed Mother. By 1989, thousands of people, pilgrims, had been to Medjugorje. In the 1980s, I was the organist at St. Pius X Catholic Church in Hamul. I was a Protestant, and all of my life I had been pulled to the Catholic Church. My background was completely different. I came from an area in Virginia that was almost completely Methodist. We moved to California when I was 11, and I attended a Methodist church in Lemon Grove. There I met my husband in the high school youth group. He was a Catholic. We married in my church, and we raised a family. And when I was about 40, some friends discovered I could play the organ. And their church, St. Pius X, needed an organist. I started playing there, and I continued for 12 years. The priest there, Father Keenan, and I became best friends. In the late 80s, he retired. In 1988, he and some of the parishioners at St. Pius went to this place called Medjugorje. I was fascinated, and I wanted to hear more about it. One of the parishioners, Rita, told me that Father wanted me to teach the choir a song that they sang in Medjugorje. She gave me the name, and can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, okay. And she tried to sing it for me. And I searched the music stores, and I couldn't find it, and I couldn't figure out how to sing it from her singing it to me. And I searched for a year for that song. In 1989, Rita said she was going to Medjugorje again, and I wanted desperately to go with her. So I signed up, and I was on my way. We were part of a group of 50 people, some from the San Diego area and some from other parts of the United States. We met in L.A., and then we flew to Rome and spent the night, and the next morning we went to the airport to fly to Medjugorje. On the runway sat a 1940s vintage airplane, a little white plane with pontoons, and I sort of gasped when I saw it. I had flown many times, but this looked like a giant dragonfly. We boarded, and we were scrunched, all 50 of us, in this plane, and I was a little bit scared. So we began to pray the rosary and prayed it all the way across the Adriatic Sea. We landed at a military base in Mostar, Yugoslavia. As we landed, a Russian MiG took off, and we were reminded that we were in a communist country. An armed military man stood on the runway as we disembarked. Again, a reminder. We boarded a bus and proceeded to Medjugorje. When we arrived, we saw a very rural village, people herding sheep and goats down the streets. And I was very comfortable because I had always lived in a country setting. We went to our house. So many pilgrims had come to Medjugorje after the sighting of the Blessed Mother, and there were no hotels, so the people had built houses, and these were for the pilgrims to stay in. So each house had a family that took care of the pilgrims in that house. After the pilgrims started coming from all over the world, the church officials said that the apparitions had to be done in the church. So the children requested the Blessed Mother to appear in the church, and she did. It just seemed so ridiculous that they would expect the Blessed Mother to go around their ideas. But she did. This church was built in the 1950s. There were 400 families in the area, but the church seated over 2,000 people. At 6 o'clock in the evening, the Croatian Mass began. First the rosary, then the Mass. After the rosary, the children were in a small room in the church, and that's when and where the Blessed Mother continued to appear to them. The first night, we were able to get into the church. There were so many pilgrims that it was difficult to get into the church. My friends were all overwhelmed with being in the presence of the Blessed Mother, and I wasn't having the same reaction, and I wondered, what's wrong with me? Then the Croatians began to sing, and they sang the responses to the Mass, and it was like nothing I had ever experienced before. It was like a rumble that came from really deep within, and it just touched something deep within my soul, and I began to cry. The next day we proceeded to a mountain named in English Cross Mountain. There was a huge cross on the top of this mountain. It had been built by the townspeople in the 1930s. It was solid concrete, and all of the materials had been taken up the mountain by the townspeople. Not an easy job. The trail up the mountain had sandstone on it, and it was very rugged. By 1989, after all of the thousands of pilgrims had trekked up and down this mountain, the sandstone had become slick and was very difficult to climb. An Italian sculptor had placed large, they were like 4 feet square. They were very large bronze tablets with depictions of the stations of the cross along the path. The pilgrims recited the station at each site. We were there a week, and we climbed the mountain almost every day. The wonderful part about it was that as you climbed, you met people from all over the world praying in their languages, and it was unbelievable. And when you reached the top of the mountain, it was like walking with God. Whoops. The place that the Blessed Mother had appeared to the children was called the Hill of Apparitions, or Apparition Hill. It was difficult to climb, and when you reached where the apparition had taken place, there were little crosses all over the area that pilgrims had left with names on them requesting prayers. We said our prayers, left pieces of paper with prayer requests on them, and we left little crosses of our own. We took a lot of pictures in that area, and most came out with streaks of light, orbs, obvious signs of spirit. And we all, including the Catholics, realized that. While we were there, one of the priests in our group, Father Brian, was asked to officiate at the English Mass. There was a Mass in a different language each hour during the day. Father asked me to play the organ. I had some problems getting together with the Franciscan in charge of the music, but was able to meet him 5 minutes before the service. I told him two hymns that I knew, and he gave me the numbers for two more. The church was packed every Mass. People stood in the aisles, and they sat on the floor in front of the altar. And I literally had to push my way to the organ in order to play it. And I was surrounded by people, which I had never experienced before while I was playing. When I turned the page to the last hymn, it was the song that I had looked for a year. Yeah. And I said to Rita, "It's our song." And she started to cry. When we went to the church in the evening, at 6 o'clock in the evening, it was so crowded that we started just staying out on the front steps and saying the rosary on the front steps and listening to the Mass through the loudspeaker. But when you were near the church, you could feel God's presence. It was just in the air. It was just unbelievable. You just knew that he was there. A couple of nights, we heard machine gun fire, and we heard convoys going through the town. And we would think, that's interesting. Another day, a military helicopter flew low over the crowd. There were thousands of people in the crowd, and we wondered what the military was doing. But even with these happenings, I was never scared. I was always at peace, and I knew that God was there, because you could just feel it. At each sighting of the Blessed Mother through the years, such as Lourdes and Fatima and Guadalupe, there have been reports of the sun dancing. We experienced that in Medjugorje. My friends and I saw the sun dance three times. It happens just before sunset. The sun begins to spin one way and then the opposite. And as it's spinning, a disc covers the sun. The Catholics say it's the host, the communion wafer. And as the disc covers the sun, colors emanate from the sun, swirling in pinks and blues and greens. Some pilgrims saw figures around the sun, such as a cross. It lasts for several minutes, and it's just unbelievable. It's breathtaking. I can't tell you all of my experiences in 20 minutes. I need like two nights or more to tell all of it. It was just so incredible. It was definitely a transformation in my life, and in telling my experience, it touched a lot of other lives also. The main things that the Blessed Mother gave to the children to tell the world were: There are five things specifically. One is conversion, cleanse your heart from evil and seek God. Two is penance. Three was fasting, which strengthens your faith. Four was reconciliation. You forgive those that you feel have wronged you. And five, pray every day with your heart. A message that she gave that I heard loud and clear, because I was the Protestant along, was, it doesn't matter what religion you are. She said that. In God, differences do not exist among his people. Diversity in religion need not separate people. Every person must be respected despite his or her particular profession of faith. And that's what she said. The main thing is to seek God. Every month since 1981, she gives a message on the 25th of the month. And she's still giving those messages to one of the visionaries, one of the children. And the last message was November 25th, 2010. I'm going to read it to you. Dear children, I look at you and I see in your heart death without hope, restlessness, and hunger. There is no prayer or trust in God. That is why the Most High permits me to bring you hope and joy. Open yourselves. Open your hearts to God's mercy, and he will give you everything you need and will fill your hearts with peace, because he is peace and your hope. Thank you for having responded to my call, and I thank you for allowing me to speak. Thank you.